So I want to look at the 21 day challenge here. And let's just go to 1 Peter and chapter 5 and verse, reading from verse 6. A lot of people are asking, so what's the challenge about? Please, if you want to tell people about the challenge, don't just say it's praise, all right? Let them listen to the message, okay? So for this course, we are not selling these messages. It will be uploaded and you can download it for free. So you can tell people where they download messages, all right? So you don't just tell them to be singing praises or just be thanking God to our 21 days. You're thanking God. It takes understanding the message and you will see it when we get into it. So, it says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Then has a colon there, which means, now we go to explain what this means. It means casting your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, to cast your care, the word cast there, is to throw, alright, or to haul something as a person. So if I cast, all right, this book here, I release my attachment to it and throw it, all right, completely to you. So God says, cast your care, severe that your relationship with your care, and haul it at him, let it be in his hands. He says, and then through that, you will know that I care for you. You will see how much I really care for you as a person. And so in this challenge here is that we want to spend next 21 days without any connection whatsoever with what we've considered, all right, to be our cares. In other words, what you might have come into this place as your need, things that in your own private personal life, all right, in your own personal life, in other words, what you or I will have been praying to God and talking to God about, we've mentioned this before, you decide that you cast that particular, all those things, you place it with God. And I don't know whether Benny also used that phrase here. He talked about casting there, and it's good, casting your care, planting it as a seed. In other words, one of the words for cast is the kingdom of God is as if a man will cast seed into the ground. So it's like you take, all right, your cares, and then you plant it as a seed and bury it. And no farmer that buries their seed goes back and checks, all right, upon that seed every single day. If it keeps going back and opening up the ground, all right, the seed will just never, all right, grow and germinate and become anything. So it's about disconnecting from it. All forms of anxiety concerning that thing. The Bible says when he casts his seed, he rests, he sleeps. In other words, he is no longer attached in terms of any form of anxiety concerning it. So take your cares and then once and carry it to God and say, these things that I would have been praying and talking or praising you about, I release them right now into your hands. Kindly let me inform you that because when I woke up this morning, oh, sorry, I didn't wake up because I didn't sleep actually. All right. I didn't sleep. So when I was getting ready this morning, God said, tell them that when they finish casting the one here, in a short while, something will happen. And don't say, Pastor, this is not part of what we cast. What day, what we cast was this other one. Let me start praying about this. Is everything in the next 21 days. Take everything and cast it, all right, right over unto God. And he says, you will see. Now, when he says cast, all right, your care, it's like you're taking your child and you put in your child in the care of somebody else. Now, think about it this way. And then every time you start calling every 1 hour to find out how the child is doing, it means you really don't think that person is responsible. There is anxiety inside your heart concerning what you have done. So you want to monitor the activities of that person. So God says once you cast something, it is an act of unbelief for you to want to monitor what is really happening about that particular situation. Now, let us see what God says he will do. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 10. It tells us when he cares for you, you see what he will do? For the land whither thou goest to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out, where you sowest thy seed and watereth it with thy food as a garden of herbs. But the land whither thou goest to possess is a land of hills and valleys that drinketh of the water of the rain of heaven. It says, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. And when he cares for it, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. Now, if you put your child in the care of somebody, you expect that person to always have their eyes on your child. In other words, you don't expect that you get there and say, God forbid, the child fell down the stairs. Say, what happened? Well, there was just this movie I was watching. And I just forgot momentarily about the child. Next thing I had, bram. You'll say, you're this irresponsible person. You're an adult. How could you have taken your eyes off the child? In other words, God says, everything you cast over to me, my eyes will not go over it. My eyes will be there and I'll monitor. He said, you know what's going to happen? Rain will begin to fall. And things are going to spring out of those areas of your cares you are not even thinking about. So he will cause rain to begin to fall there. Things again. Let's assume somebody says, well, you know, my desire is that I want to get married. All right. He says, then rain begins to fall in that area. In other words, guys or girls, people that are in that kind of place where you can marry them, begin to spring out of the earth. What you have been praying for, God, bring them. Nobody came. But the minute you cast your care, then rain started falling on that area. Yeah, you follow what I'm saying? All right. And then he goes on and says this. All right, let's go on. He says, always upon it from the beginning of the year, even to the end of the year. And then he says, and it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken, this is what you are supposed to do, diligently unto the commandments which I command you. And what's the commandment? Today, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. That I will give you the rain of your land in due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in the corn and the wine. So what are you paying attention to? Loving the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, serving him. That's what you are focused on. My cares I have released unto you. Now my concern is to demonstrate love towards you. And then to serve you with all of my heart and with all of my soul. All right? And to serve you that way. And God says, that is what I want from you. So if you look at Isaiah 64, we've used the scripture, let me go by it if I get one today. Today, verse 1, it tells us, oh, that thou wilt rend the heavens and you will come down, and the mountains might flow at thy presence. Verse 2, it says, as when the melting fire burneth, when the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thy adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. Verse 3, when thou didst terrible things in righteousness, which we were not looking for, why explain, why is not what we're thinking about? Things just started happening. Thou came down and the mountains flowed at thy presence, or rain began to fall. Then it says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, neither perceived by the ear, neither have their eyes seen God beside thee, what thou hast prepared for them that wait for thee. I would say, a man who is waiting for God, which is what we're doing in 21 days here, is consciously there with a sense of expectancy that God is going to show up in a new way in my life. If I tell you that I'm coming to your house tomorrow, wait for me in the afternoon. All right? Say, when? About 2:30. Right? So somebody calls you, say, well, I can't leave. All right? I told Pastor I'll be at home, and I'm waiting for him. In other words, everything, no matter what you are doing, your consciousness is waiting for a knock the bell to ring, or whichever way it's made known unto you that there's somebody that wants to get into your house. That information, you are waiting for that information. It's like it's just heavy there, all right? It's a weight there. You're conscious about that, and that's what happened. And it says, those that are waiting for him, it says, what does not do? Two things they do. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and walketh righteousness. So the rejoicing is loving the God, Lord your God. All right? Serving him and walking righteousness. We explain what does it mean to walk righteousness. Job chapter 35 and verse 8. It says, thy wickedness may hurt a man as thou art, and thy righteousness may profit the son of man. So what we're talking about in 21 days, we cast our cares aside unto God. And then we are rejoicing and we are praising God. And that's what I'm teaching today, praising God. Praising and rejoicing. And then walking righteousness. Being profitable unto men. Going to God in the place of prayer. How can I be a profitable and serve you? And be profitable unto people. How can I? You decide every single day for the next 21 days. Every day, starting today, somebody must have some benefit from your life. In other words, you make up your mind. Remember, the Bible says the wicked will not sleep until he has done some evil and harm to somebody. The righteous also should not sleep until he makes sure he has helped somebody. So there must be somebody there. So your prayer is not going to be, you've cast that aside unto the Lord. You are not praying about those things. You are worshiping God. You wake up in the morning, worship. Spend time praying. And what are you saying? Open my eyes. I'll show this here. Areas where I can serve you. Who is in need, all right, that I can help? Could be material, could be with a word of comfort, some form of support somewhere, all right, visitation. But you are praying, God, show me. The sun will not go down until I have. All right, I will not sleep until I have helped at least one person in my area, around me, in my zone there. I know when you begin to pray this way, you are asking for God, show me your will concerning this. Open my eyes to see who I'm supposed to connect to today and serve. Listen, you start getting into the flow of the Holy Ghost. This business of saying, how do I hear God, becomes easy. All right? And you are driving and God says, you see that guy there, or you're walking across your street there, who might be mending shoes. Go and talk to that guy. There's something I want you to do. You park your car, you get there, and go and meet him. Start a conversation. All right? And already he's blessed by the fact that you came to sit down with him. And then you start the conversation. And you talk about things. And then he begins to tell you that, listen, my child, my daughter has been on local herbs because I have no money. The doctors prescribe something. And, you know, I just have no money to buy. And you look at it. Everything is 7,500. And he tells you about the child that has been dying. And you've been driving past or walking past this person who has been carrying this burden in their heart, and you never picked it up, and you're wondering, and God says, this is where I want to bring you into. This is the new life. I want to show you how to live this Christian life. You leave your own stuff. I'll force rain to fall on it while you are doing this. And then you see that, and you say, all right, so how much will it cost? It's 7,000 naira. And as you bring that 7,000 naira, you give him, and you say, that's great. And as you're going, the Holy Ghost says, no, that's not really what you're supposed to do. That 7,000 naira, he is not going to buy the drugs. Because there are other pressing issues he's going to divert that money to. So I want you to go and get the drugs. Leave the 7,000 naira, it's for something else. You get the drugs and you give him the drugs. Are you following what I'm saying here? And you do that. And then you begin to hear God. All right? Next morning you wake up and the Holy Ghost says, listen, you see this bag of rice you have been looking at, checking what day to expire. You have eaten rice, tired, so they're trying to catch up. That there are people all around this area, around you, that haven't eaten. Now, I want you to cook a whole big pot of rice. May you take that turkey there and make wonderful, all right, stew there. Now, put it into small, small packs. Then I want you to put it in the back of your car and start driving around this entire area. And anybody you see across the road that seems to have nothing, you get out of your car and begin to give to that person. Are you following what I'm saying here? And the Holy Ghost begins every day. This is the challenge you want to get into. In other words, it's not about me, all right? It's about hearing God concerning people around. And somebody dips it in and eats, and he tells you, I haven't eaten food like this since 1997. And you look at the person, are you serious? And then tells you his story. That is not that I wasn't educated. Until I was educated, I used to work in this bank. Your mouth almost drops. Because you thought the man sitting there doesn't know anything, he's not educated. And he says, listen, but I went on drugs. And starts telling you things. And then you begin to enter into another world. Are you following what I'm saying here? Which means that other people have been in their experiences. And you say every day, won't say this, all right, praise and doing this. The prayer there is, God, open my eyes. Who can I reach, all right, around me? Who can I minister to every single day of these 21 days? All right? Which means every single one of us gets something. Now, put up, Psalms chapter 50 and verse 23. It says, whosoever offereth praise, this same thing vertical to God, and to him that orders his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. In other words, he didn't say he's even praying for it. He just offered praise and he ordered his conversation. The word conversation there doesn't mean speech, verbal interaction there with speech. What he speaks about now, he could mean that, but he's talking about behavior, which means the way you conduct your affairs. So the man who conducts his affairs right and he offers praise, God says, I will show you my salvation. You are going to see massive things. Right? Now, if you start reading that same chapter from verse 16, we get to see this conversation thing better. It says, but to the wicked, God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes? And thou shalt take my covenant in your mouth, seeing, verse 17, that thou hast hatest instruction and casted my words behind thee. Verse 18, when thou sawest the thief, you consented with him, all right, and hast been a partaker with adulterers. Verse 19, you gave your mouth to evil and your tongue framing deceit. Verse 20, you sat down and spoke against your brother. You slandered your own mother's son. Verse 21, these things you have done, and I kept silent. And you started thinking that I also am even like this. All right, but I will reprove thee. In other words, I will correct you. I will set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, you stop praising him. Lest I tear you in pieces and there is none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and unto him that ordereth his conversation. So God has set it in order to that person and said, this is how, these are the things, mistakes you are making, these are the areas. God sets things and corrects the person about things. And then they begin to order their conversation according to the things that God is showing them. So it's about praying to God and saying, order, all right, set it in order before my eyes. I might think that I'm living right, doing things. But then you begin to help people and you realize that you have been living a self-centered, selfish life. It has all revolved around yourself. Even when you get to worship and praise, you find out that you've been praising God only for him to do something for you. You've nearly never ministered to him. You've looked at him and you are, it's almost like you're just trying to use him, all right, to get certain things done. And it's not true praise, and that's what I'm teaching, yeah, and true worship, all right, with a heart of thanksgiving. So Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15 also tells us again this kind of thing. It says, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise, vertical to God, continually, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks. And then 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So we say praising him, and then the horizontal one there. Then we find in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 8, that there's the kind of practice we're talking about in verse 1. It tells us that he wanted them to know the grace of God that was bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. And he said in verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, and many people in their own trial, well, God, what is my trial? He says, look at what they did. Out of the abundance of their joy and deep poverty, all right, and their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their generosity. In other words, liberality is about their generosity. There was abundance of generosity. These guys were under some severe test, yet what we were seeing was joy and generosity. And what did they do? For to their power I bear record, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. All right? Two, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministry. So it wasn't something that Paul induced. It was something that they chose to do. They prayed Paul, which means that they went to Paul and said, you must do this. We want to minister to the brethren that are in Jerusalem. All right? Take this gift. We've made contribution. Give it to them. Then, and Paul was in state of shock. And he looked at everything they did and he said, this is not human. This is grace at work here. And then look at what Paul said concerning them in verse 5. He said, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first they gave of their own selves to the Lord. This is so important. And unto us by the will of God. In other words, first thing is you give yourself to the Lord in worship. And then to others by the will of God, which means is what God says you do. Not that you're just being emotional. By the will of God. God, show me your will concerning this particular thing. Show me, not that you just wake up and say, well, 21 days of this, and then you just see somebody, he says, I need money, you say, okay, no. You spend time praying, God, show me your will. I want to be led and directed by your spirit into this thing. All right, who is it that you have? Who are those that you have had there? Where will you want me to be of help? How can I, all right, add value, real value, all right, to somebody? It could even mean that you just decide that, well, you're going to teach some people's children, all right, maybe they need to pass jump or something. You know, it depends on what God shows you, all right? So it's by the will of God. What God? I mean, that's why the widow of Zarephath was so powerful, because God told the prophet, he said, I have commanded her. Not that it was induced. I told her, all right, that this is what she should do to sustain you. So it's something that God shows you he wants you as a person to do. I mean, I've told this story before, my friend. All right? He cast me from school and he was in Kenya. He had the second largest church in Kenya. Folks, you can even be preaching and you are not compassionate. I hope you know. You're not doing God's will. You can be preaching, you're not doing God's will. Because what do you think that Jesus said? You will come and say, we prophesied in your name. I mean, what do you think he said? They prophesied. We cast out devils. But he said, I saw how you were driving in your car, splashing water on everybody around. People that needed your help. And he said, he looked at it. That's why people say, I want to serve God. This is how you start serving God. All right? This is how you start. The only thing a person starts from the top, I heard Rick Godwin say it, is a grief. Every other thing you start from the bottom. You want to build a house, you start from the bottom. The only thing you start from the top is you are digging a grave. So when you start saying, I want to serve God, and you are looking for the top, Are you following what I'm saying here? You start from the bottom. God, show me. So I want to know how to hear your voice. This is how you learn how to hear God's voice. All right? Then you start having miraculous encounters and all of that. Okay? And he told me, he said, he sat down one day and was reading the Bible. And it's so true. He said, and God ministered to him. Lazarus was sick. All right? He had sores. They would bring him every day. Why was it the gate of this rich man? And he says, read it. The Bible says that Lazarus died and then the rich man died. And he said, God told him. The reason why the rich man, the only thing they said about him after Lazarus died, was that he died, was that the minute Lazarus was no longer on the earth, there was no need for him because his assignment was to Lazarus. He said, God told him, find your Lazarus before he dies. Because once your Lazarus dies, you are coming to meet him. Or you can be on this earth wandering purposelessly. Because the people you are connected to, you have ignored. He said, he asked God, where is your Lazarus? It was the worst slum in Africa. God pointed to where he started the work. God said, go and help those people over there. When he got there, they were smoking hemp. They had weapons. He said, walk with them. He said, you should have seen the first day he had a meeting, 1,000 people gathered without poster. Do you get what I'm saying? Because now you started moving into the area of God's will. I mean, when I saw him, he told me, he's doing many powerful, strange things. In fact, just got a long story, the way I even reconnected with him, we were on Facebook, but the day I said, all right, I'm going to invite this man to speak, he knows something. This is not just my classmate. Here, you know something. All right? Because you're my classmate, doesn't mean. I mean, Yvonne Idahosa, when she came to speak, she was telling me, said it was very powerful. I said, that was very powerful. I told her, when we met, I was just met by chance in the house. Oh, she's also put the conversation. I said, when you started talking, I felt in me that you should come to speak in platform, because this is what I was looking for. I said, but I had to make sure it wasn't the Idahosa influence that was on me. So I waited for you to talk, till the Idahosa influence wore off me. Do you get what I'm saying here? Because many times we just make emotional decisions. But why was it so powerful? Because it was an emotion. Alright? So he said, that's how did I see it? I saw that there was the Supreme Court annulled the presidential election in Kenya. And you know, it's just like saying somebody wins this election coming, and then they annul it. You know how tense it is, as we are like this, tension is already there. You know how tense it will be. Ah. And he said there was, he told me, he said, listen, we're on the brink of a civil war. He said, inches away. He said, people don't know. We were close to a civil war. He said, they asked the two of them, okay, who will you meet to make peace between you that you can sit? They called the name, his name in Nigeria. How did he get there? Based on the work he's doing in the inner cities. They saw the integrity, all right, with him. Okay. So, we are doing these two things. But let me just share quickly on the subject of praise. Because we do understand, all right, according to God's will, helping, but now praise. So what then is praise? We need to understand the nature of praise, because it says, whosoever glorifieth me offereth praise, glorify. What does it mean to offer up praise unto him? We need to understand the nature of praise. Praise is an act of verbalized worship. In other words, when a person is praising, it's an act of verbalized worship or adoration, all right, that declares or acknowledges God for who he is. In other words, praise is verbalized worship, and you are acknowledging God for who he is.
Thank you for listening.